I want us to start in prayer. The people over there in Malawi, they don't have a Thanksgiving Day like we do. We are blessed to have that. And there's a lot of things that we have the privilege of having that they do not have. But in the devotion one morning when we sang "The Roll Is Called Up Yonder," when we finished, I did tell them, well, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there and you'll be there. I might not ever see you again, but we do have the Lord in common. And that is the whole idea of the Christian school at Ebenezer. And Ebenezer is in a little town called Nakoma. And if you look on your map, you can see the airplane trip that we had. We left North Carolina, went up to New York, and then we flew down to South Johannesburg, and then we went up to Lilongwe, which is the capital of Malawi. And Malawi is that long, the black line is Malawi, the country of Malawi. It's landlocked. It is one of the poorest undeveloped countries in Africa. But the little odd thing is the lake, if you can see it. But I put in Kenya because we have missionaries. The Hazels, Jeremy and Claudia Hazel, are in Kenya. And their little girl was just 8 weeks old and had her 8 weeks old checkup, and her mother turned 40 on that day. And so she was a little blessing that came that they never thought they would have. And then in Togo, we supported the Steels, who were in Togo years ago from our church. And then up in Senegal, we have Cash and Anne's daughter and son-in-law and their family who have been in Senegal, and that is a country. So those are countries in Africa that we have, our monies have gone to support. And I just wanted you to at least get an idea. Malawi, it is below the equator, and it is the opposite season from what we have. And when we went over there in June and July, it was winter, and I stayed cold the whole time, and Joanne was burning up the whole time. And she would open the window, and then in a little while I'd go back and close it just a little bit. I just for some reason could not get warm. But I never had a clue, really, what type of country I was going to step into, and your thoughts of Africa. What I thought Africa might look like was not exactly what I saw. And Nakoma is a village, but they really called it a station, and it is far beyond what the normal villages are. In the regular villages, they have one water pump, which they called a blowhole, and everybody went to the blowhole to get their water, and they had no electricity in many, many of the villages. In Nakoma, that station was started in 1875 by the Presbyterian Church from Scotland, and there in that village there are many brick houses. They're old. Some have electricity, some don't. Some have water, some don't. But it is just a higher scale village. They have the hospital there, which brings professional people in, and so those professional people have better houses. And then they have the school, Ebenezer School, and it is a Christian school. The church supports it, and they give out scholarships to the children who can't afford to come to school in that area. There are parents that do pay for their children, and all the children will have, they all get issued uniforms. The boys get pants, shirt, sweater, and a toboggan, and the girls get a skirt, blouse, sweater, and a toboggan, and they're issued, so the children all have clothing for the year. And it is their responsibility to get them washed, cleaned, and kept up with. But when we went into Lilongwe, we were met by Chrissy, the principal, and a driver, and we started out, and the country was pretty flat, but we ended up, we were going to the mountains. Driving along, this is hazy, but I had to take it through the truck window, but that's where we were going to. Saw those mountains, and Nakoma are in the little village station is up in the back, right underneath those mountains. I never saw an elephant. I saw no wildlife. And the principal told me that many of their kindergarten children, many of their younger children, and some of their elementary children really do not know what giraffes, elephants, tigers, and lions are, because right in that area, they're just not around. The animals that we think about are getting extinct in Africa, so you're going to find those kind of animals on the reservations and places where you can go for a safari and see that type of animal. And I don't think that there are any hippopotamuses at all in the wild, what they would call in the wild now. The poachers have just destroyed the animals. Joanne and I, we would have to get up early and go to school, and to get there about 10 after 7, because at 7:30 classes started for the children, and they had Bible. They had Bible every day. This is a Christian school, and they are wanting to develop good, solid Christians from the school. And so they do have Bible every day. And it was interesting enough that there are Muslims and other religions around, but if a child comes from a Muslim background, if they can get that kid before the fifth grade, they can have an influence and they can possibly change that child. But from fifth grade on, it's very hard to change those children. The children come and they do not have lunch at school. They leave at 10 of 1. They do have a break in the middle of the day, and if they brought something from home, they could eat it, but if they didn't, then they didn't have anything till they got home.
How far did they come to school?
They came, many walked, but then also some parents brought them on bicycles for over 30 minutes, and then also some of them rode transportation for over an hour. If the parents could get them on those buses, then they would. The children would come from outlying villages to ride in, to have in the transportation that they have. And one grandfather used to ride his children to school, two little twins, and he tied them on the back of the of his bicycle so they wouldn't go to sleep.
Right there is inside the truck. We were getting close to Nakoma. People and animals were in the road every place you went, and bicycles. And as you can see, the fellow is driving on the opposite side from what we do. This is the back road. This is where the path, part of the road, which we walked every morning down to the school. And
now, is that grandfather mountain?
No, that's Nakoma. That is Nakoma. And this is a, right there, that is a new wing that was being built at the school. This was a chapel that we walked by. Wonderful. This is a chapel that was being built. They have no place to meet, a group to meet, and this was a wonderful place. Those men were working. We went down to the school right. We got there because it was between sessions, and the school people, the workmen were building on the chapel. They had been building on that for about 3 months, and there was an engineer from Holland who had come down. He brought his wife, and she stayed a month with him, and then she just got bored, and so she went back to Holland, but it took him 2 more months to go ahead and build the chapel. I did not see any equipment, heavy equipment, there in Nakoma or at all. The men were finishing up that, and it was finished, and we could walk on it before we left. Okay, right there is the vehicle that I'm not sure who it belongs to. There, in Nakoma, under the Presbyterian Church, the school is under the church. There's a church and the hospital, and if anybody got a ride any place, you rode in that truck, and your suitcases, when we were picked up, they were just thrown in the back. They had been carrying cement, lumber, anything that they needed. That truck was their workhorse, and of course, no air conditioning. It was diesel, but also the driver, he drove some of the doctors around, and Barbara Nagy, she used that for her transportation with a driver, and when we went any place, we had a driver with that truck. Those children were playing. It was not a school day, but they were playing, and you can see they were barefooted, but they are older children on the school ground. The next one. When I saw that, I thought, what in the world is that? Those were buckets, and they had plastic liners in them with foam. And that's what they use them for. This is their bathroom. This is the students' bathrooms. And these were new ones that they were building. And the bucket is dropped down in there. And there the bathroom is finished. There is no water. They, after they have used the bathroom, they take a pinch of soda out of the green bucket and put it in the toilet, and then they put a cup of sawdust in there. There should be another bucket in there that would be for paper. The paper is not supposed to go down in the bucket. And then the janitor, he carries that out to compost pile, and this is out behind the school, and the compost pile, when he stirs it a little bit, there's no odor, but they don't have meat, and so there's not a whole lot of, I didn't smell it at all, but when it has cooked to what they think they are, it should be, then they carry it out to this garden area. And the children have quit playing and have gone down into the garden, and they are They are digging up the ground. Now, this is winter. They're getting ready for the ground a little bit later. And notice how large the end of the hoe is. It's really, really large. But those children will be digging in the dirt and getting the ground ready so that they can plant crops, and they will plant tomatoes and corn and squash and other things that they can sell. They try to make some money, and they grow popcorn. Notice the fence behind it. This is the janitor, and he's building a fence around the garden. Goats are everywhere, and so they have to keep the goats out of the garden, or somebody's goats will just eat up their garden. And so they do have a lot of fencing. This is Joanne and Chrissy. This was school was not in session when we went down, but she works at the school constantly. She is there, and she lives in a house that you could see from the school. And this teacher dropped by. She's a fourth grade teacher, and she is not married. Her parents kicked her out because they wanted her to marry the father. She did not love the father. She did not think the father would be a good father. And so she had to leave. And so she is teaching at this school. They don't have enough money really to pay their teachers well, but they do pay for housing. They will give them a house to live in. So many of the teachers who have come to this school were looking for a place to live so they would teach there. The principal made less than $500 a month, and I don't know what the faculty, I don't know what the teachers made, but it would be maybe a whole lot less than what the principal made. This is Heather, and Heather was the principal at Ebenezer, and the board decided that this is an African country. We want an African, we want a Malawian to run the school. And there was no complaint with Heather, who's doing an excellent job, but they just decided they wanted to have a local person. And so, but Heather is in this big, under this umbrella, and she worked for, I'm going to say it's the Church of Central Africa Presbyterian. They ran the hospital and the school and the guest house where we stayed. She ran the guest house, and she also ran a retreat area out on Lake Malawi where the church people can go and have a retreat. And also if somebody in the guest house can afford it and there's nobody out at the retreat center out at Lake Malawi, which was 4 hours away, they could use it. She is the one who's had the tragic in her life. A drunk hit her daughter and son-in-law and 3 children. The daughter is paralyzed. The granddaughter is brain injury. And this was in Botswana. And so Heather was having to leave. She was having to give up her job completely to go and help with rehab for her daughter and her granddaughter. And the outlook was not good for either one of them. Come Monday morning, that's the path we started down toward the school. And as I said, we went into the back of the school. I did have a picture, but it's okay, at the front door, but we never used the front door, the front gate. We always came in the back side. This is a faculty meeting, and they sing, they have devotions, they have Bible reading, and the second fellow there, he has a set of drums, and he was playing, and after they had devotions and music, and one of the teachers led the devotions. After that, then the children were outside, and they just played outside till 7:30. And the school is really set. This particular part is just a big courtyard, and right now this one is on Friday. They always have assembly, and the students line up according to their grades, and they might. One class might sing a song. They might do poetry. When Joanne went over to work with her play, they did the play there, but it was after Joanne left. She got sick and could not stay. But the play, I did hear, was very exciting. The people and the students enjoyed the play. But now that the chapel is built, they can have things like that up in the chapel. But right now, the assembly, and they just stand on the porch and they give announcements to the students. These children were singing.
What language?
English. The school is in English, but they do have Chichewan. They do have 30 minutes of vocabulary and grammar within their native tongue, and when they go home, that's what they speak. But at school, they speak English. I had a hard time understanding it many times, but it was done very, very well. This is Dick. He's giving them a farewell goodbye, and you can see how they're lined up. They're supposed to be lined up with their grades, and then we have the faculty is over here. They stand on both sides. But he was telling the students, please take care of your new school building that's being part of it, that's being built. Take care of the chapel. And then he compared it to some of the other schools. He says, I've been in the other schools, which were the public schools. And he says, some of them don't have doors. Some of them don't have windows. And he says, you have such a nice facility here.
Who is Dick?
Dick was the fella who built the chapel. Okay. He was the one, the engineer who came from Holland.
Okay.
And but he was giving them a pep talk on how to take care of their stuff. And then after they were dismissed, the children, back up just a minute, they went to their doors, but they did not go in the doors till the teachers came. And and the one teacher, the classrooms were, some of them were, they're not really, really dirty, but they're not clean, basically, like our classrooms are cleaned, some of them. But one teacher he said, you can't wear your shoes in the class. And so they left them at the door, and you had to wander through. This is Ellen. The first year that Joanne was over there, I think in 2010, Ellen could not walk. She had lost the use of her feet completely because of malnutrition. And her grandmother had to carry her everywhere she could go. But the year that Joanne was there, she was able to get some prosthesis. And she was so happy to have those. And one of the first things she said was, now I can go to school. And she's a good student also.
And how old is she now?
She is in the sixth grade, so I do not know her age. Okay, and the next pictures will be some of the students that I just snapped. I did not really have time to snap pictures in class. And even though I snapped 1,600. Yeah, that's it. I just took some pictures when I could. They love to have their pictures taken. And I want you to notice their shoes. They do have uniforms on, but you can see their shoes. And these are this is a second grade teacher and a fourth grade teacher, and this was their teacher's lounge, and her hair was just beautiful. This gentleman, the janitor here, is cleaning, and that was one of their brooms that we saw people sweeping with. I didn't see any kind of a broom that looked like our brooms. And then a lot of people used that broom, and they leaned over. You had to lean over all the way down to sweep with that one. But I did see ladies sweeping porches with that type of broom. This is a first grade teacher, and this is a teapot. We had tea at 10 o'clock every morning, but also the electricity went off in Malawi anytime it wanted to, day or night. I don't care what you were doing, if the electricity could go off. And so one morning it was off all morning, so we did not have coffee, and we had to get ready for school with a flashlight and get on to school. And I had told Chrissy, I said, man, I'm going to miss tea today because they heated it with electric pot. She said, oh, Gladys, don't worry. So they had this pot, and it was a pot full of tea. Oh, man, come 10 o'clock, I was excited. Yet, here all the other teachers were coming also at 10 o'clock, and they would pick up the lid, and they would dip their cup in. Now, they brought their cup from the classroom, and so all of these cups came, and I didn't know if they'd already had a cup of tea, if they had washed their cup, and I thought, oh, no, I cannot put my cup in. I cannot drink that tea because I was so afraid of getting some kind of a bug over there. And so I had to pass up that tea that day. And, oh, that just broke my heart. But they did. That's how they fixed their tea. That was, I told you they had no paper. Oh, that was the paper the teachers had that they could go in and get out to take to their classroom for their teachers for their students to write on, for scrap type of paper. Now they have a copying machine, and our church, we bought paper for them twice because they kept running out of paper and funds while we were there. Now, because of some special offerings in our church, people have given us some money, and we have already sent some money back over there, and they have gotten enough rims of paper to finish out the whole term with and maybe begin next year's term. And then they also got every student got a pencil. And if you'll look, this is in the second grade, and this is in one of the new parts of the building. That has a sink. Most of the classrooms do not have sink, and this is light. They did not use much electricity, and they didn't turn on the lights. And the classroom could be almost as dark as this room, but I wanted to turn the lights on, but they didn't turn the lights on, so we didn't. Back up just a minute. But you can see, you can't find many pencils in that. And I just took that as a shot. Did not have time to go into the other classrooms because I was really busy testing the students to give them a diagnostic test to find out what they knew and be able to give it to the teacher and say, this kid cannot subtract, this kid doesn't multiply. The whole school was having trouble with zeros, interestingly enough. But once you could point it out to the teacher, then the teacher was able to keep watching, because every time they had to add or subtract, multiply or divide, the problem with a zero, over half of them were missing the zero problems. And on a test at the end of the year, which they do get, that's one they might could have added the problem, but if they couldn't handle the zero in the problem, they lost it. Okay, and then so we took scrap paper, that teacher and I, okay, and we just made, I told her, I said, this is how you can use that paper. We were trying to figure out how to use those strips of paper, and so they were able to write down. I said, put you a column of numbers, tell them to put a column. You can add them, you can subtract them, but you can sandwich those in. And so she did, okay? And then this is a little group of first graders. I had taken some slate boards over with magic markers, and I had no place to go. There's no room, and the classrooms have about 30 in each one, and it's really hard to try to teach. And so I could put them on that ledge, and they could put their boards and use their magic markers, and they loved the magic markers. And I would call out a problem, they would put down the problem. And so that's what we did there. This is PE. They love this game of tug of war. And right there is one of my favorite pictures. I'll hold that one right there. But Joanne wasn't very happy with that teacher. She was trying to do something in her drama class where you were to act out. Like, okay, you've got two teams. You act out your team and your team, and we're having tug of war. Well, when the teacher saw what she was doing, and she was trying to get them to use their bodies and imagination, he went out and got the rope and said, here, you can do it here. It just blew her class, blew that lesson out. Okay. That building, we'll come back to it in a minute. This teacher taught in the in the high school, secondary, what they call it, English. He had a great reputation, very good reputation. And I told him, I said, you've got to smile. You have too pretty of a smile, and I've seen you smile. So I made him ask. He took the picture. I let him take. Let me have the picture again. And this is where he lives. And notice the windows, how they take care of the windows. And then also, looking there, let me back up 1 minute. Okay. Right there, you can see they have patched that fence. Okay. Many times, we would have the straw would be along the path going to and from school. The straw fence is, and it was interesting to me, all the different gates we passed. Some didn't have gates. But you can see how they use that straw. And interesting enough, when Samaritans first, we saw the film on shoeboxes in Malawi, I saw these fences a lot of times in those. This fella is sweeping with that kind of a broom, and they keep it really clean in front of their places, because you see they're burning the leaves here, and that's the path, part of the path that we would walk down. They keep those leaves burned out away from the path because of the black mamba. The black mamba is a very poisonous snake, and they hide in the leaves. So they want to keep the leaves away from their things. Again, they dug this ditch, oodles of men. That was their manpower. This fella sold squash and potatoes, and every day that I walked by, I thought, oh, man, I would love to have some of that, but I'm afraid to do it. And when I went over and talked to him, he said, here, and he handed me a potato. And I took it, and I thought, it's hot, it came off this grill, it's going to be okay. And so I did eat one. But evidently in the evening, around noontime, he sets that stand up and makes money. Again, the path, you never knew what you were going to meet. Carrying a table, two gentlemen going down the street carrying a table. This little girl is up in a tree, and she's getting these guavas, and she's going to throw them out to the kids. And the kids were out after they had eaten their guavas. And And right there is Joanne, and that kid's maybe eating a guava, I don't know. But these three gentlemen were Christian gentlemen who went into the village, and they taught Bible, and they thought that we were just over there to work in the schools to feel good. Oh, if you just feel good, then... And that's all. Isn't that why you're here? And I said, no. I said, no, we're here to help. And they were sincere. This gentleman, though, he wanted to pick us very much. And he just thought that so many people come over and do a little bit and leave. But they were setting up at this computer. They were setting up to do some Bible drill out in the village. And so when the fella told me, he said, oh, you're just doing that to make you feel good, and how do you know that that's a Christian school? I said, I don't know if I can prove to you that it's a Christian school, but let me show you one thing. And I pulled my phone out, and I had taken this picture that morning in the classroom after a Bible class. And it says, how should we praise God? Sing to him and dance. Pray to him. Obey him. Worship him. Bow down. Don't sin. Forgiving each other. Helping others. Building a house of worship. I said, I can't prove that they're a Christian school, but they teach this every day. And I think that is evidence that they're trying to do the right thing. And we thank you, church, for trying to do the right thing. We're supporting this church. We're supporting the school through this church, and we are building Christians.